Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Welcome back, everyone. It is almost football season. It's 90-something degrees. We're in the heat of summer, getting ready to go into the best part of the year, football season. Welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. It's your host, Jordan, joined by Rob in Vietnam and Dan in coastal Connecticut. Gentlemen, we haven't talked in a minute. How are y'all doing?
I am good, man. I got to say, it is like it's been 96 to 98 degrees in coastal Connecticut for the last couple of days. Y'all are very lucky. I mean, very lucky that I'm wearing a shirt.
Well, and you libs up there don't believe in air conditioning, right?
No.
Save the earth and
no.
All that. So
my house is every bit of 105 years old. It's probably not impossible to air condition it, but it would be a substantial engineering challenge that we have not undertaken, and I have not been digging it.
Nice. Rob, how's the weather in the jungle?
Hey, the weather in the jungle is it's hot here, but you know, it's the South, man. Like if you're not used to 90% humidity after like your second year here, you never will be. But it's pretty warm. Had a good weekend this weekend. Took my nephew and the fam to GalaxyCon in Raleigh. If you have not gone to one of those shows, actually super, super fun and great opportunity to hang out. Met the acolytes from Big Time Wrestling, and those are like two of the largest humans I've ever met in my life. So super good time, but looking forward to having a chat about college football.
Absolutely. So Rob, I gotta tell you, I was in the airport, the mothership Hartsfield-Jackson a couple weeks ago, and I was walking by the gate for Fayetteville, North Carolina, right? And they just closed boarding, and there was I'm assuming family. They might have been cousins / lovers with their children. I'm not entirely sure, but it was a very eclectic group of individuals trying to get home to Fayetteville. And if there's ever been a stereotype about Vietnam, I think it was proved true by these folks. So I feel for you.
Yeah, it wouldn't be surprising. You know, like there's old running joke that like, how do you know that the toothbrush was invented somewhere other than Fayetteville?
People have more than one tooth
because it'd be called a teeth brush.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, nothing against the good people of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Anyway, all right, moving on. So after a long season of Wade spring football, Camp Buckner, summer school, I believe they call that STAP, or at least they did when I was a cadet, and even more time in the weight room, football season is almost here. The team's in summer camp, and we're less than a month away from real football. We're going to dive into it. We have insights from practice. Dan's going to walk us through the new plebe roster. Rob's going to walk us through some of the game prep that he's been doing. Excited to just kind of get everybody, you know, in the mood for some college football. But before we do that, Rob, why don't you tell us about our sponsor?
Yeah, so we have a sponsor here at Ask for Football, and if you guys have been listening to the show at all for the last 4 years, insert pun here. But yeah, so if you're looking for a home in the Fort Bragg area, Fayetteville, or anywhere in the country, we have the realtor for you, Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics. There, she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn's decided to support Astro Football this season. This is the second year that she's going to do it, which is great. And she's the right person to get you in the home of your dreams. Jocelyn also has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving anywhere else across the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. Just keep in mind, like, she has a network of West Point graduate realtors that she knows. So if you are in the mood for a home or you're getting ready to PCS, get in touch with Jocelyn. At the very least, she can point you in the right direction. At the very most, she can help you find a home. Thanks.
Rob, you know, I just realized, you know, Jocelyn, fantastic, you know, sponsor, great supporter of the show. We probably need to stop trashing Fayetteville so much, considering she's a realtor for people moving to Fayetteville. Yeah, if she was the other way around, we'd be doing great work for her, but we're really not selling Fayetteville. Yeah, so
True statement. However, she does a lot of work in Southern Pines too, right? So, I mean,
well, all right.
She's got that community.
Okay. All right. Anyway, Dan, take that as a note in our editor's meeting. We got to, Rob and I need to workshop that.
Yeah, I was looking forward to the sponsors meeting where we had that exact discussion, actually.
Oh, good. Yeah, I think I'll be out of town for that one. I'm sorry. Anyway, so we did have kind of an inside spy at practice this week. Dan, why don't you tell us about what Lynn saw and remind everybody who Lynn is and why we're talking about what she saw at practice.
Yeah, so Lynn Fern is a photographer. She works a lot with Army Sports, and she, you know, takes pictures for the academy, but also just for parents. And she's working with Astro Football now, just to give us somebody on the sideline who can ask questions and take some practice observations. So it's a big deal for us, and I hope it's helped Lynn. She's, you know, trying to grow her own business as a photographer. So we're hoping that this thing works out all the way around between the two of us. So, you know, she sent us some observations from practice, and we talked a little earlier in the day about things to specifically look for. And we posted that in detail up on Patreon. But briefly, as Coach Munkin observed during his post-practice press conference, there is currently a quarterback battle. It, you know, he says it's anybody's ball game, but Dwayne Coleman is currently working with the ones. So yearling Ethan Washington is currently working with the twos. And Kale Helms is currently working with the threes. And I think it's anybody's guess who's going to win that out over the long term. Although I think everybody would be a little surprised if Coleman doesn't start early. And I asked Lynn specifically to note how many people are working under center versus how many of the quarterbacks are working from the shotgun. And she said that everybody is working under center, which I think is surprising. Because if you remember, that is definitely not the way that things played out last year when we had the backups come in. She said Hayden Reed right now is working with Washington with the, you know, ostensibly with the twos. I think we know Reed's going to play a lot, but she said he specifically has really good chemistry with Washington. That's something to watch. And she also noted that Casey Larkin and Jackson Hammond had big moments on Monday. I don't think that's surprising. You're talking about veteran safety and a veteran cornerback coming back playing, you know, probably not necessarily against the ones. And at any rate, you would expect the defense to be ahead of the offense on the first day of practice. Finally, she specifically pointed out Cal wide receiver Kavon Poynter. I sincerely hope I said his name correctly, as somebody that stood out to her. So that's a name that I'd never heard of that we will be watching for on Saturdays.
Yeah. Very interesting. You know, it's admittedly, I know we're going to talk about this later, admittedly, a little nervous going into this year, right? We had a very talented firsty class last year. They had gotten a lot of reps, you know, from yearling year on, you know, a lot of talent, a lot of heart, a lot of, you know, chemistry with that team. Bryson Daly, I mean, Heisman finalist, finishing the top 10, like it. So losing a lot of talent. So little, you know, too early to tell, but I guess it's kind of exciting that people are looking good in practice. Rob, what's your take on kind of how things are looking based on what we know right now?
Yeah, it's always interesting to kind of get that first read out of the first practice and then hear the off-season stuff. So, you know, I think there's always going to be a position battle. I think that's one of the things that, you know, purists, I guess, would always want to see, like the firsty quarterback get the start. You know, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of people that want to see that happen, and like a guy that's developed in the system. And the truth of the matter is, like, it helps, because look at the performance that Bryson Daly had. You know, we started seeing him, you know, in spots as a sophomore, and then junior and senior year, he really showed out. So I think there's an opportunity really for, you know, Dwayne Coleman, even if he doesn't start, to actually have a significant amount of impact, you know, on the team. And again, of course, you know, always interesting to see people under center and not, you know, the air raid as we normally see in the spring game. I think that's always a good indicator of, you know, where the team is going.
Yeah. Dano, I know you're a big Dwayne Coleman advocate. What's your take on the fact that he's not named starter right out the gate?
I mean, they didn't even name Kelvin Hopkins a starter right out of the gate after that phenomenal year he had as a Cal going into his senior year. So, they didn't name him as the starter in his Cal year coming off that performance from Temple and with essentially nobody else in the quarterback room that anybody had ever heard of. So I take absolutely nothing from the fact that Coleman hasn't been named starter. If you're Coach Munkin, what do you get out of naming a starter on day one? Like, nothing. Even if you know, he even said if they were going to play today, Coleman would start. You know, okay, that's obvious, but
yeah,
but, you know, like Rob said, you want to see the quarterback earn it on the field, and that's good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that was some of the returning talent that we've seen. New plebes on the roster. So Beast Barracks finishes right for the football team. They go into camp. You know, they march back early. They do that thing now, which personally I think is great. I know there are some grumpy old grads mad out there that, you know, oh, they're not sitting out at Buckner sweating their butts off for an extra week, you know, doing nothing. Like, you know, they truncate everything, they front load it, and they get it all done. Anyway, so a lot of new plebes on the roster. An overall trend that we've noticed, like in recent years, we're recruiting height, we being Army, not Dan, Rob, and I. Army is recruiting height and hoping to build strength. Not all the kids are tall, but a lot of them are. And we've seen that the last few years of we'll get a really tall guy who is a beanpole his plebe year. And then by kind of yucker cow year, he's put it on. Then by first year, he's a monster. So defensive backs, we have 10 of those. Five of them are standing 6 feet or taller. Three weigh at least 200 pounds. That's awesome for the defensive secondary. Five quarterbacks gone to a bigger body type. Only two are 6 feet or taller, but four guys weigh at least 200 pounds. So interesting kind of dynamic there. I know we've had a lot of different shapes and sizes at the quarterback position over the last few years. So interesting that they've kind of gone all in, at least on this year, and a little bit of a bigger guy or bruiser, as James would say. Nine running backs, two different body types, you know, kind of the short, stocky, traditional fullback kind of, and then a little bit taller than linebackers, pretty universally large. Three or at least 6 feet tall, average weight of 213 pounds as a plebe. That's fantastic. There's one highly recruited guy who's on the smaller side. The mode weight is close to 220. Dan, I haven't seen someone talk about the mode of anything since like eighth grade algebra.
I'm an electrical engineer. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I do like the numbers. You know, I was talking to James about this today, and over the course of the season, we are going to try to do like less volume of statistics, but I understand the game through numbers. So sorry.
You're a nerd. It's fine.
I mean, you got to own it, right?
Yeah. Wide receivers, two are greater than 6 feet tall. Offensive linemen, the fat boys, my people. Five stand at least 6 foot four. Five, not the same five, already weigh 300 plus pounds. That is crazy for a plebe offensive lineman finishing Beast Barracks. Nuts. Tight ends, we got three of those. One kid is 6'4", 222. Defensive linemen, two are 6 foot three, and then special teams, we have three kickers, one punter, and one long snapper. Dan, I know that was, you know, music to your ears listening to me rumble off all those numbers. So what's your thought or your take on the numbers of some of these people?
I don't know, man. I do think it's interesting that they've gone to the slightly bigger body type for quarterback. It does seem like for the longest time, Air Force kept putting out these like 6 foot, 2 inch quarterbacks who could do everything. And Army kept trying to fight that with a 5 foot, 8 inch quarterback who, you know, we love him. The guy was a warrior, but it's like, why are we doing it this way? So I am really interested to see how that goes. You know, Corey Elick said here that, Washington looks like he's put on a ton of muscle in the offseason. You know, he was very thin. He was even thin at the spring game. So, you know, but he's a tall guy with a good arm. So if they can put some muscle on that guy, that's what you'd like to do. I will tell you, he can really throw the football very well in a way that I don't think we've seen at Army in a while. So if they can get that consistently, it'll be amazing.
Yeah. Rob, what's your take?
Yeah. So I think the main thing is like, We're seeing it now. Like, hey, Coach Hughes is great at freaking strength training, right? Like, he's going to put some bigger bodies on the field because, like, the guy's a pro. Like, he's been there for a while, and he's, you know, the weight room is pretty impressive at Army, you know, not only with, you know, just the facilities, but the amount of work that the guys are putting in the offseason. So I think, you know, bigger bodies allow, you know, the larger frame allows you to put on more bulk. Right. And so I think, you know, the fact that you got kids that are coming tipping the scales at 300 pounds as plebes, like you're looking, you know, 330, 340 by the time that guy's a firstie, you know, and playing ball. And I think this goes back into, you know, what Coach Munkin always says. He's like, he wants to develop these players over time. right? Yeah. So like Corey said, like I can't train height, but I can train strength and speed. I can bring those things up, you know, to a level where they can perform. And I think it suits Army to do that because we truly are a developmental team, you know, so we can develop these players into the future.
Yeah, Rob, I want to talk about that, right? Because I think a lot of people have made the argument, and I would agree, that Army, Navy, Air Force are kind of the last developmental programs in the country, right? It used to be that, you know, obviously Nick Saban claims he's a developmental program. He's getting the best of the best, right? They're developing them differently. But it used to be that, you know, you would have some of these smaller programs and it's, hey, you know, you are not super heavily recruited. Come play here. We'll develop you. You know, you'll get to play kind of junior and senior year. Maybe you get a shot, whatever. Great. Now with the rise of NIL, people are going where the money is, right? They're going, yeah. You know, if they're not going for money, they're going somewhere where they can immediately start and try to make a difference so they can turn around and go play somewhere else and make money. You're not coming to Army to do that. So I would also imagine that the type of people that we're recruiting are different because it's people that are okay or maybe not okay. They have come to the realization that they're not going to get a 7 or 8 figure check going somewhere else to play college football. Right. And so I think that gives us a unique opportunity to be able to get some of these guys that were maybe under recruited, but have a lot of potential and then develop them over the course of, you know, prep school plus 4 years at the academy to then eventually, you know, be pretty successful in their junior and senior year. Any reaction to what I just said, either of you?
Well, I'll jump in first, and I say you're spot on. And the first part of it is there's only one other team I know that it tries to avoid the transfer portal, and that's Clemson. You know, so okay. Yep. You know, Dabo's been pretty adamant about like not pulling people into, you know, Clemson as well. And I think he wants to focus in on the players that he has and develop them. And that doesn't mean that people aren't going to leave, but I think you're not going to have wholesale turnover. And like, look at Army's opponents last year. Like when you look at FAU, like, oh, FAU is going to beat Army. They're going to destroy them, blah, 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 blah. They've got all these transfer portal guys. Well, just like all teams last year, if you have a whole bunch of people in the portal, they're not really a team. You know, you're going through camp, you're trying to develop your team. And so by the time they gel, you're 4 to 6 games into the season. Whereas if you have a team that's basically played together for years, like, look, nobody worried about the quarterback center exchange with Bryson Daly and, you know, or any of the other quarterbacks that we had at Army last year, just because they've got the sets and reps in. So if a guy's a junior coming in as a backup, like, you know, Coleman stepped into the Air Force game, wasn't really that big of an issue because he's in the system. He's familiar with it. He knows how to run the offense. Whereas if I have, you know, a transfer portal quarterback as my number one guy and he goes down and I built the offense around him, okay, well, who do I have as a backup? Oof. You know, and we saw that a lot in college football, you know, like even Notre Dame. They made it to the playoff last year, but what happened? As they were trying to gel with all their transfer portal players, they got by NIU, right? Mm-hmm. So it's still there. So I think the reality of it is the teams that figure out the best way of developing as many players and retaining as many players as they can, given all the NIL shenanigans, probably had the best chance going forward.
Yeah. Dan, do you agree with that?
I mean – I'm very curious to know how many players are getting, you know, big money offers, like 6-figure or more offers, because obviously we live in a time when the rich are getting richer as far as college football is concerned. You know, Clemson notwithstanding, there are teams out there full on buying a roster, and even a place like Tulane has to buy a roster, you know, year in, which is crazy because not only is that a good school, it's, you know, they also got a good football team. I mean, it's wild, but I would be very curious to know like what the opportunities look like for, say, your 3-star players. And especially because a lot of these guys, you know, like Michigan, they're recruiting off other teams, you know, like Trader Joe always says on the college football roundtable, like they're recruiting some freshmen, sure, but dude, they recruit off your team. Like they don't go looking for a freshman defensive tackle. They go looking for the best defensive tackle in the American Conference as a transfer. So that's very different. And yeah, like you said, you would definitely like to play your Notre Dame type game earlier in the season rather than later, because once those very talented teams gel, that's not the same thing as what they're going to look like in September.
Yeah. For sure. So I looked it up, Dan, right? The average NIL compensation for college football players is roughly $40,000 per year, $39,000. However, this average is heavily skewed by a small number of top earners, with the median NIL being $928 per year.
Okay. Yeah. See, this this is why median and mode are important.
Yeah. And exactly. when you look at the numbers, you've got some people that are really throwing it out of whack. So you've got the Arch Mannings of the world, the AJ Dominitzes of the world, Carson Beck with his like $4.5 million contract. And then like current players, like the two guys that are really skewing it are Arch Manning and Jeremiah Smith. And both of those guys are, you know, those guys are highlight reel athletes and probably would start at any university that they would attend. So they're really skewing the numbers. And I think it's, you know, I think unfortunately you're getting into like a pro type situation when there's, you know, when there's like a salary cap, you know, and eventually that's going to have to come because people are going to abuse it. And like, if a kid's making $938 a year, you know, is it really, you know, like, is it worth it to have us, you know, can I have a scholarship with $938 a year? Like, I can barely, like, if you, the wrong kind of car, you're going to burn that up on like driving to and from practice.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's going to be interesting as this continues to kind of get sorted out what that looks like. Cause I think for a lot of people, they're thinking, oh, I'm going to get the universe. I'm going to get ahead. And like, this is going to be great. And in reality, it's like, you would have made more in the, you know, the scholarship and all the housing and all the other stuff that you were going to get before that you now potentially are going to, you know, that compensation structure is going to change, right? You're looking at just salary as opposed to your overall total compensation. So anyway, we'll see what happens, but I think it's interesting. You know, Corey put in the chat, you know, these guys are making more from cadet pay than they would from NIL. And I think you're probably right. Like, you know, the Power 4 average is 75,000 a year. Power 4 median is 3,000 per year. So if that's the Power
4, that is wild.
The group of 4 is even less than that, or group of 5. And I'm not being ugly, but like the majority of people that play at Army, Army's not stealing people away from Alabama and Michigan, right? So the guys that we're recruiting are going to be making less than $928 per year. If I had to bet, they're making more as a plebe at the academy, making $200 a month.
Yeah. I'm just pleased that we got a real world use of statistics to teach everybody a little bit about the difference between mean, median, and mode. So I'm delighted over here.
This is great. Dan, I love this for you. This is great. Corey, $1,339.50 per month as a cadet. That's a lie.
Needs an asterisk.
That's a lie. Because it's like, that's what they pay you, and the uniform factory takes their cut. And
Goes.
It's like, yeah,
that's like a discussion.
Any of that. Yeah. Anyway. I was a big believer when I was a cadet that we needed to audit the cadet treasurer because money would just go in and out of my account and it was all over the place. I'm getting charged for stuff I'd never even heard of.
Got to pay for those foam fingers, man.
I know. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. The accounting in the federal government. Don't even get me started. Well, speaking of getting started, Dan, why don't you tell us about our other sponsor who can help you get started with a great mortgage?
So I actually talked to Craig briefly today. Craig Oxane is the area sales manager for the mortgage broker at the Money Store. And he is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, still based out of Chicago after our last show, he texted me like, I'm still in Chicago. So if it matters where your mortgage broker lives, Craig still lives in Chicago. Friends, the mortgage process is super confusing. I mean, interest rates are moving all over the place. The market can't figure out what it wants to do. You know, one day the economy is booming, the next day it's going to fail. This is not the time to deal with some random big box bank or minus website or, you know, get a mortgage from China.com. Like, you want to deal with a person who you can actually call on the phone and have a conversation with. And that is what Craig offers. And friends, this is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football. And we are trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that you possibly can by introducing you to the man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300. Save yourself $1,300. I mean, it couldn't be easier. So go to the website. Craig's got a little banner on there. So does Jocelyn, for that matter. You know, if you're getting your PCSing, you know, you're moving someplace, click on there, get your realtor from Jocelyn, get your mortgage from Craig. Like, it couldn't be easier. So that's it. Check it out.
Dan, you know what's kind of funny?
What's that?
If you get a mortgage with Craig, you could save more than the average college football player makes in NIL every year.
There you go. Boom. Roasted.
There you go.
Speaking of NIL, Rob, why don't you tell us about your NCAA 26 little side project that you've been working on?
All right. So College Football 26 is out. Very, very frustrating game, right? And I put a note on the Twitters the other day. It seems like the gaming industry has gone to some type of live service or variation where everything is supported by the platform that you're playing on, whether it be PC or you know, console. And they send these updates throughout the year. So they roll out these unfinished games and then they're just like, oh, we'll update it. You know? And so you start, the game is buggy. We'll say that, you know, if you listen to all the commentators, a lot of people are upset with the way that the gameplay is because it's playing worse now than the last version of College Football 25. You know, aesthetically, it looks a lot better. So you've got like night shows, and like I put it in the drive if you guys want to look at it, but it's got the Virginia Tech entrance. They're playing Inner Sandman. They're doing all that stuff, which is super cool. So it has a lot of embellishments as far as like the college football experience is there, but the playability is not so much. And so the main thing is, you know, when you're trying to run the ball, I would tell you your best option is to either play online because you can have, you know, the same amount of mistakes with human interaction because then it's not tabulated by the machine. And then using the sliders is the best way to adjust the game to your liking. But again, if you're going to play online, you're going to have to go with the commissioner that's running the dynasty anyway. The defense is pretty cool. Like there's so many layers to the defense. It's absurd. Like you can do defensive line stunts. You can move your linebackers all over place. You can, you know, hide your man with hide a cover two with a blitz or whatever. So there's a lot of embellishments underneath the hood that you can kind of tweak and make changes to. But the problem with the game overall is that it's visually pleasing, but you know, you're still going to be waiting for patches and updates all throughout the course of the season. And that's just been the trend that EA has had both with the Madden, the game. And now it's the same thing with NCAA 25 or College Football 26 is they're going to roll the thing out and then they'll do updates every so often. My recommendation is if you're going to start your dynasty, at least start your dynasty with the football season because you'll get that one last drop before week zero, so everything will be as current as it can be, and then you can start playing. And then a couple quick tips that I'll give you is adjust the sliders. I mean, if you want the running game to work, you're gonna have to pump it up to like 50 to 75 or 55 to 70 for running. And then unlike the tactician, so if you're playing with Army and you like Coach Munkin, he has already got the Master Motivator moniker. So go to tactician and update your quarterback so they can actually throw, right? So improve their throwing and passing skill so you can actually, you know, throw when you want to rather than when you need to. And then there's another setting in there at the very beginning. So when you go under settings, turn off even teams because what will happen is the computer will ensure that the game stays close if the teams are set to even. So like if you're playing against Air Force and you have like a 10-point overmatch on them, if you have on even teams, the game will be closer than you would want it to be. Whereas like, and if you're playing Alabama, you might want the even teams on, so at least you have a chance to kind of win. But it just depends on, you know, your playing style. And I can't say for sure like, hey, this is it. This is the answer, because it's very, very difficult to balance it because like, what if you want to pass? You know, like it's nice to have an Army quarterback with like 3,000 yards passing, but that only happens in a video game and you have to have the right adjustments to do so.
I got a question.
Yes.
So my sense is if you want to play this game, you really are thinking about it. Like probably the maximum play of this game is going to be like the last 2 weeks of August, right before football season starts, because that's when everybody's thinking about football, but there's no damn football on TV.
Correct.
So scale of 1 to 10, how bad of a fumble is it that these guys put this thing out and they're going to patch it essentially after people are like, eh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it happens every year. They do it with Madden too, right? So they'll patch it. And so basically what they have is they'll have a title update, which is the big one. And then they have like hot fixes, which are the small ones. So like last week, one of the problems that they had is like every time you threw a pass, your wide receiver would jump to catch it, regardless of where the ball was positioned, right? So if you threw a back shoulder throw, your wide receiver is jumping in the air to catch it. He gets hit in the back by the defensive back. He fumbles the ball or he drops it. It's like, well, why is he jumping? You know, so they fixed that. but then it breaks something else. And so that's the problem with all these games is like they launch them incomplete, and then every time they send a patch or an update out, it breaks something else somewhere in the game, but you have to play it in order to get the feedback. And so that's why they release it so early. You know, so we're going to release this thing in, you know, mid-July so we can get everybody's comments, critiques, and everything else and reviews. So then in August, we can have the most perfect game that we have going into the season. So for people that want to play along, but there's guys with probably like 300-400 hours in there, like the professional YouTube crowd or the EA content creator dudes, they're guys that are playing this game probably 10 to 14 hours a day.
I mean, those guys have brain damage. That's just a lifestyle choice. Who's making that? Who, if it's a job, then okay. But dude, come on.
Yeah, for sure.
When was the last football game Dan played? 16-bit or 8? It was 0. I'm sorry. I'm not a gamer.
I was a Dan. I had a joke teed up about Atari and like computer. Like I was trying to formulate that, and then you jumped in. I was gonna say like Dan, I'm not even gonna go to you because like it's not available on Atari. Sorry, like but and then you jumped in. And so sorry, I was trying to get that work in, and James stole my thunder. So thanks, James. anyway, well, all right. Let's talk about what we're looking for this season, looking forward to this season. Dan, you're as usual, you're kind of the Debbie Downer. So I'm going to let you go first, and then Rob and I can maybe bring everybody out of our depression after we listen to you ramble for a minute.
So the actual question was, what's one thing to watch and what's one thing to worry about this season? And both of mine kind of fall into the worry about category, for better or worse. And, you know, like we said, how many of these quarterbacks can effectively run the offense under center? And can Army remain our primary under center team? Or are we pretty much reliant on Dwayne Coleman to run the offense as Army fans are used to seeing it? Like, I think last year when Bryson Day was in there, they were under center a lot. And when anybody else came in, not so much. So I think it's very interesting that the team has been running more under center. I'm very curious to see how that plays out over the season. And again, the only thing we're going to see, only time is going to tell how that goes. And then the thing to worry about is that both of this year's captains come from the defense. And in fact, they're both linebackers. And we've definitely seen where Army will have a lot of defensive captains. I mean, even last year, three defensive captains plus Bryson Daly. But Army also lost a lot to graduation along the offensive line. So as far as one thing to worry about is there enough leadership on the offensive side of the ball? So, again, I don't know that I'm saying that there isn't. I'm just, in terms of like things that I'm looking at, things that I'll be watching this season, that's what I'll be watching.
Yeah. I'm really digging back in the cadet archives of my brain, and this may have changed, but I always thought this was interesting because if you read the cadet regulation, whatever the hell it was, it's not 670-1, but it's whatever the cadet one is, every NCAA sports team is allowed one captain. So one individual that's allowed to wear the 4-bar, you know, kind of cadet rank. Football is only allowed 2. And for the last however many years, they've always had 6 or 7 captains. So anyway, random. That might have changed, but that
just, I mean, it's only a relatively new thing that the captains actually get a rank. Back in the day, you could have 15 captains if you wanted to, but it was just a thing. It was
really
fully informal. Yeah.
Interesting. Huh. Well, I guess when they, you know, brought computers and stuff into the academy, they changed things a little bit.
Yeah, when we switched out from the abacus and quit using the freaking slide rule, unfortunately.
They can start training.
Core has, man. Core has.
For real. All right, so for me, I'll say line play. That's the one thing to watch. So, you know, the front 7 on defense, like we have 2 defensive captains that are linebackers. So I think, you know, there's a lot to be looking positively towards. Like the defense usually is ahead of the offense, but like if you have 2 defensive captains and not one on the offense, one on the defense, that probably tells you like there's some expectations there. So I'd really like to see, you know, how, you know, the front 7 on the defense plays, because like Army typically has a stout defense. The secondary was a surprise last year. I think they played a little bit above expectation. And so it'll be interesting to see how the front 7 shakes out on the defensive side of the ball. And then on the offensive side, hey, we have 2 Outland Trophy candidates, you know, for the best interior lineman award of the year. So like, it'll be interesting to see how those guys play. you know, both, you know, going into junior and senior seasons as very senior seasoned offensive linemen, plus winning the Joe Moore Award last year, there's going to be a lot of eyes on the front, the offensive line as well. And then the thing that I'm worried about is like the last four games of the season. The reason why I say that is because it's like you come out of a pretty tough matchup with Tulane into a rivalry game at Air Force. So you play Air Force at their place in November. Then you got back-to-back trap games with Tulsa, who is not that great, and then Temple, who is not that great. And those very easy to stumble on mentally. And then you've got UTSA for Thanksgiving weekend at the Alamo Dome. I mean, that's not a recipe for disaster, you know, get nicked up, go into the Air Force game, drop one there, and then get snuck up on by one of the two, you know, teams that you should handily beat, and then have to go into a tough contest with UTSA. And that's always a tough game. You know, that's like, you might as well just lock that one in as a rivalry as far as I'm concerned, because every time Army plays UTSA, it's a pretty tough game. And it's a very physical contest, particularly down at their spot.
Rob, does UTSA's Frank Harris entering his, what, 13th year of eligibility at this point, or did he finally get a job?
No, I think he's a realtor in San Antonio. I think he's selling all the houses.
Dude, if he isn't, he missed his calling. Either that or cars.
Something. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. There's nothing. I was getting ready to make the guy a LinkedIn and a resume and start applying jobs for him. I mean, come on. Oh, all right. Hey, well, you know, if you know, I want to help Frank Harris get a job. If you want to help As for Football grow, here are some things that you can do. First of all, Patreon, we'd really appreciate it. We have a couple different levels and options. At the yearling level, you get access to Lynn's photo galleries, one weekly games and locks of the week if you're a gambler, and early access to our shows. The Cal level, you get all that stuff, plus access to these live recordings during the season. So we've talked about Corey and James and some other folks commenting with us today. If you want to do that and heckle us, heckle me, call Dan a boomer, whatever you want to do. If you're a Cal, you can do that live, and we will read your comments live. At the Firsty level, you get access to everything that we just talked about, plus the Firsty Club, which is where all of our hardcore Army sickos talk Army sports all day, every day. We've been doing a lot on Patreon since Lynn has joined us, and if you're interested, please check it out. Thank you very much for all your support. We could not do this without you. We are trying to operationalize this as much as possible, you know, be a real media establishment as much as we can. So we're
boy, only some of us want that
on our end. Okay, excuse me. Those of us more respectable members of society would like to legitimize ourselves. Some of us, anyway, we'll fight about that later. Either way, we're doing some things at As for Football. We appreciate your support. We're getting ready to roll into the season, so we're going to get going. It's weekly here pretty soon, so looking forward to talking with the guys and having our viewers on. So thank you for all that you do. Thank you for all the support, and there's a lot going on, so stay tuned. Last comment from James. Throw off my composure. James, you're really messing with me today, man. He said, I don't even know how to pronounce this. Hrank Ferris is QB2 for UTSA. So it's like, you know, when Eli Manning did the whole undercover thing with the Giants or walked on. I don't know what it was, but yeah. Hrank Ferris is, yeah, that was good. Gentlemen, any final notes, parting thoughts before we, get back to the rest of our week?
I mean, I was expecting a slow week, but we've put up like three things on Patreon this week. It was not planned. This is just kind of how it rolls. You know, Lynn feeds us a lot of content, and we, you know, we're putting it up there. Plus Rob had his article online, and we have ours, another article earlier. And then next week, the guide to Mikey Stadium comes out. So we're almost at full power here at As for Football in freaking not even August yet. And it's crazy.
Crazy.
So, yeah.
Good deal. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. We'll see you in a week or two. Until then, follow us on the socials or on Patreon. Have a good one. Beat them.
Beat Tarleton State.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, whether you're cheering in the stands or following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at askforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy.